Yeah, dog days of summer. Everything's kind of getting to that point now. Do you realize school starts in, what, a couple weeks? Oh, that's crazy. Who thought it was blasphemy to start school before Labor Day? I always how many of the kids go in before Labor Day now? I know my grandkids, a lot of them go in now. The week before is not too bad because then they get the Labor Day break, but I always thought it was like blasphemous. No, my summer, man. Don't take away my summer, even by a week, you know? But sometimes we recognize that they're just days and times, and that leads me into saying, I want to talk about church this morning. That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about church. Why church? That's a message I think that we all need to hear. So, Father, bless your word now to our hearts, that we would receive it with gladness, that we would be able to not only understand as you give us ears to hear, but that our hearts be open to receive it, that we may do all that you instruct us to do with joy, not only for our edification, but to share it with others and to glorify you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I had some, the Vacation Bible School was in New Jersey last week. Oh, by the way, if you know, I know Friday nights going over the bridge isn't the easiest thing in the world, but it's actually been better on Friday nights as the kids are heading down. Kids, you want to go to a block party? You're having a big one in Jersey at the Jersey Church. We had maybe even 200 people show up last year. Ice cream truck. We had bouncies and balloon animals and face painting and food and all that stuff. If you want to venture over, we'll leave some flyers in here next week. It's on the 23rd of August, which is a Friday night from like 6:30 to like 8:30 or 9, something like that. But this week, as they had their Vacation Bible School there, I did have a lot of conversations with people. And many of them centered around church. Church, general, big church, you know, the church, and then, you know, our church, you know. And they were good conversations. They were interesting conversations. And as I was thinking about some of them over this weekend and praying, I want to just ask you, when I say the word to you, what are those things, you know, what first comes to your mind? When I say church, you know, what comes right away to your mind? Is it a building? You know, is it a building? Is it Sunday morning? You know, is it Sunday morning, right? Is it a building? Is it Sunday morning? Is it maybe a Bible study or this, that? You know, whatever your image of when I just say the word church to you appears into your mind, it's probably nowhere near the totality of what the Bible teaches church should be and what the Lord wants church for us to be. So I said, why church? Why? Why? Why church? Like, what's it all about? Why church? Why do we have church? What is church? Why do we have it? Why is it necessary? In Acts chapter 2, very familiar scripture, could almost be, in verse 42, can almost be the purpose statement for the church. This is the church right out of the gate. Pentecost, right after the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus is risen, he ascended to the Father, poured out the Holy Spirit upon them. They were like brand new, brand spanking new. It's just like the prototype. What did they do? Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. There are four things here listed. Now, there's other things, too, which we'll get to in a moment. But the four things, initially, the church, right out of the gate, said, this is what we got to be about, the church. This is what we got to be about. Teaching the Word of God. Biblical doctrine. Very, 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 very important, because the Bible tells us that all this other stuff that is false doctrine and false teaching, though it may be packaged as good Bible teaching, but there's a lot of false stuff that is always going to be coming. The winds are going to blow it all around all day. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:14 that we need to be built up in the true Word of God, the Scriptures, the Holy Word of God, so that we are no longer infants being tossed back forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. That's a little different translation than I have up there, but it's, you get the idea, right? Stuff that comes our way, sells a lot of books. videos, you know. Big, you know, meetings and stuff like that. We make money for a lot of people. Tickles ears. Sounds real good. Gets everybody all excited, but it's not true. Oh, it may have some scripture dotted here and there, but it's not true teaching from the Word of God. We need to be grounded in the Word of God so we can spot the false teaching. It's important. And we need to have a place for fellowship. It's important. You know, I remember reading somewhere, it's not good for man to what? Be alone. Do you remember reading that sometime or hearing that? Right at the beginning. He said, hey, Adam, listen, I made this beautiful place for you. And look, I gave you every animal. You could even name them all. How many of you have pets? Come on, raise your hand. Good number. Yeah, we like our animals. I'll tell you what, as much as you like them and sometimes as much as you prefer them over people sometimes, they do not take the place of human companionship or fellowship. It just can't. And God knew that when he had Adam name all the animals, but he wanted him to know that they were not suitable fellowship. That's why he brought a woman. And he says, it's not good for man to be alone. We need one another, regardless of what we might think. You say, I'm a loner. Yeah, but you need one another. We need one another. We do. Yeah, I'm going to give some scriptures, and I almost don't usually do this. I know our messages are recorded, and I rely on that because some people say, oh, I want to listen to it again, and they go online and you know, watch it or listen to it again. That's great. I don't usually put outlines out there, but I think in this case I might put an outline out there. Maybe it'll be up on the websites tomorrow. But this, listen to some of these scriptures. I'm not going to go into every one, but just this is what happens when we have fellowship. We're devoted to one another. We honor one another. We're to instruct one another, be kind and compassionate to one another, encourage one another, and love one another. You notice in everything they all said what? One another. That doesn't happen when you're by yourself. I know you love yourself, but too much sometimes, right? But how you love one another if you're not together? We need to provide a place for fellowship. And we do so, and times we come together, we have the Lord's Supper. Now, here we don't have it on a regular basis. Some churches, like when Ken started the church in New Jersey, the custom was monthly. They do it every month. We do it about 6 times a year, you know, periodic time. We're probably going to have one right after Labor Day as everybody starts to gather back together. But we do have time for for fellowship, for the Lord's Supper. A time to come to remember what Jesus has done in the breaking of the bread and, you know, in the taking of the cup. We remember these things, and he says, you do these things to remember me until I come again. So we remember him. And then we come together to pray. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, I desire therefore men, and I believe included that would be the women, but men pray everywhere. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Just be praying, church. Be a praying church. You know, Philippians tells us that we are prone, everybody, all of us are prone to anxieties. We are. Everybody has some anxieties about something. And when it tells us not to be anxious about anything in chapter 4, verse 6, it says, what do we do instead? But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, so that the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And that comes through prayer. We need to pray individually. We need to pray corporately. We need to pray for one another and with one another. We need to. It's part of the design. Not my design, but God's design. And then we know that, by the way, I learned so much when I've been in times of corporate prayer. You really learn about one another through corporate prayer as we pray together. You really know what's on one another's hearts. Like you get those things that people are passionate about when you hear them pray. You know, we're all passionate about Jesus and all, but then you hear them pray about, you know, a certain thing or situation or the country or, you know, little children or maybe people, you know, involved in a lifestyle or in addictions or whatever. You really hear that in their heart as we pray together. And we could join together and pray. That may be not the biggest thing on our heart, but it is for our brothers and sisters. And we pray in unity with them. Prayer is important. privately and corporately. And one of the things we know that the church came together to do that, but Jesus had also, before the day of Pentecost, he gave them another part of what the church should be doing, and that is to go into all the world. Go into all the world. You know, all the world starts in your house. All the world starts in your neighborhood or maybe on the job, you know. All the world starts here and then goes out from there. But he said, go out and make disciples. You know, we give them the gospel, we make disciples. That's our commission, to go into all the world. It's something the church should be doing. To be a lighthouse in the community. To point people to Jesus. To point them to Jesus. You know, it's interesting that when we do that, when we promote the gospel, when we proclaim the gospel, when we live the gospel, when we do it, sometimes we do it so much around one another, we forget, no, it's that people out there that got to hear, people that don't know him, or only know him religiously, or we know him culturally, or only know about him in some other way, but don't know him personally. They don't know his word and his love for them. And when we're out there amongst people, another thing that the church has to do is, in the midst of all of these things, when we go out to talk to people, make disciples, you know what else happens? We find a lot of brokenness. We do. It exists. You know that because it came in your life. It's in your house. It's in your communities. And we encounter, when we're talking to people about it, we find needs. There's a lot of needs out there, and James tells us that the needs that are out there with people, that he says, you know, real religion. Now religion is a word, dirty word amongst a lot of us. We don't want man-made religion. But this is the religion in its truest sense, meaning true devotion to God or true salvation in Christ or being born again. He says that religion that our God the Father accepts in James chapter 1, as pure and faultless as this, to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted with this world. We're going to see needs out there when we go out together as part of the church. So we equip people to do the work. See, we can't do it alone. We were never called to do it alone. We were called to do it as the church. The church went out. Jesus many times sent them out, and when he sent them out, he always sent them at least two by two. Go out together. Go into the world. See, we as the church together need to be equipped. Every one of us needs to be equipped. Ephesians 4 tells us that one of the reasons that we come together on Sundays and hopefully Tuesday and Thursday and maybe Fridays and maybe even Wednesday, whether it's online or in person. Person's always better, but sometimes online. You know, or whether it's whatever kind of gathering we have together, even, you know, now we're doing, you have some Mondays group going on, that class is going on. All the times when we come together, we are being equipped. You know what it says in Ephesians 4? That God gave himself, or he himself gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, so that they could all have a job. No. They could all have a title. No. For the equipping of the saints so that we can go from there graduating with great degrees. I graduated from the church and I have a doctorate in church whatever. No. No. For the working of the ministry. Oh, so the ones that sign up to do that ministry, they got to come and get the tools. They say, no, 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 no. Listen, every Christian's got a ministry, or ministries to be more accurate. Many things that we are all called to do. You know, maybe it is that first ministry, is your home. Guess what? To deal with people in your home, you need to be equipped. You need to be equipped. To deal with people in your community, you need to be equipped. To deal with people on the job, you need to be equipped. You know, you start a job, you may not have any experience, but they like you and they think that you're a good person. So what do? Go out there and just do it. No, they equip you. They give you the tools you need, the training you need. Well, all of us as Christians, we need those tools and we need that training. But guess how it happens when we come together? We have to come together to be equipped. And guess what? We equip one another. Do you know some of my most amazing times of ministry for myself It's like when we have Bible studies, and most of you know when you come to Bible study that I know, at least that I do, it's interactive. You know, I like questions, comments. You know what? How much I learn. I mean, sometimes somebody will share something, and I'm just sitting there going, man, that's amazing. That's so profound. They have an insight on the scripture, and I go, I never thought of that before. Thank you, Lord. I get equipped. I get encouraged. I get blessed. I learn. We learn. We equip one another. But it doesn't happen in isolation, church. It happens when we come together. And how long do we have to do it? That scripture says, he says, we do this until we graduate with the doctorate degree. Then you're okay. You don't need to do it anymore, right? No. It says we do it till we all come to a perfect man. Ooh. Some of you say, oh, that was about 5 years ago. I've been perfect for a while. No, listen, you ain't going to get perfect down here. You're not going to be perfect down here. So you know what that means? We got to keep doing it to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. We have to keep equipping one another and coming together and working together and learning from one another and being ready to go out and do the work that's all. Jesus said they're always going to be with you, the people that are in need and people that are needing to hear the gospel. They're always going to be there. The work is never going to stop until we go home. Until we go home. So we got to keep coming together. We are the church. The church is his hands into this world, his feet, his mouth, if you will, his eyes, his ears. We are the body of Christ. We have to be equipped. How does it happen, you know, like on a regular basis? Well, you know, I know here, you know, I have the privilege and the wonder. It's a privilege and a responsibility to come in, on Sundays and to speak and teach and preach God's word. And then I love, you know, when we get together and have fellowship, which we get into God's word like on Tuesday, and you know, whoever's leading the group, you know, a lot of times it's me, sometimes Mark is, or sometimes, you know, if somebody else does the group for a short time. Then Thursday we do Bible study, and then Robert may do a Bible study. He does his Bible study on Wednesday that you can zoom into, and then Mark has his class on things, and Jake's doing his class, and then Jim comes in and he has some things and classes and equipping thing. We're doing a lot of work, a lot of equipping. It's there. It's real. It's practical. It's not just something theoretical. It's in our midst. And what's the result of that? You know, hopefully you're being part of the prayer station. Hopefully you're volunteering maybe at the Access Center. Hopefully you're taking what you hear on a Sunday or then to inviting somebody to the church or sharing something you learned. And you come to Bible study and you grow and then you take it back and you give it and share it with somebody else. That's what we do. We do this so that it gets out, so that we can have it multiplied. And the work is done. Whoever the one that is doing the equipping. We're all equipping together one another. So that we can be part of God's mission for his church. You know, again, making disciples. Going out, spreading the gospel. You know, one of the problems that has existed for a long time in the church in general, I don't think it happens here too much. I don't see it, though it probably does to some degrees that we maybe aren't really apparent. But it's not here. But in a lot of places, it is more of the norm than it should be. Is people want to make disciples, and they want to make people disciples of themselves, of their church, of their denomination, of their pastor. We weren't called to make disciples to those things. We're called to make people's disciples to Jesus. So many times it's the thing. Come to my church because we got the best, blah, 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 and you make them disciples of your church, and they never become disciples of Jesus. No. Oh, yeah, I love that church. I go to that church, man. I've been going there for years. It's a great church, but they're not born again, and they don't know Jesus. No, we missed it, man. Yeah, but we filled the seats up. Well, that's great, but they're going to hell. I mean, be honest, right? One of the, probably maybe the greatest compliment that I've ever received was somebody from, I don't even know if they're really on the earth anymore. They may be. I've lost touch with them years ago. They used to come to church a while back. Some of you may or may not remember this person, but this person came to me one Sunday and said to me, "Pastor Joe, can I say something?" I said, "Yeah, sure." She said, "I got to tell you something. You know, don't be upset." I said, "Why would I be upset?" She goes, "When you preach," she said, "I don't see you. I see Jesus." She said, "Don't be offended." I said, "Don't be offended." I said, "That's what I want you to see. Don't look at me. Don't see me. That's the goal. I know it's impossible not to see the person and hear the person's voice speaking, but the desire is, I don't want people to become a disciple of me. If you're going to follow me, eventually you're going to end up in a ditch somewhere. Yeah, and I'm not going to want to lead you to that ditch, but it's going to happen because I'm just a human being. I have my faults and failures just like we all do. I want to be a good example. It's one of my roles as a pastor, as an elder. You know, I have to be an example to the flock, so I do my best to be that example. But don't follow me, and I don't want you to follow me. Only follow me as I'm following Jesus. I want to point everybody to Jesus. We want to make disciples of Jesus so that people can know him, trust him, receive his salvation, and be born into his family. We want to put Jesus on display. And in doing that, part of the mission, again, of the church as we come together and being equipped is that we glorify our Father together. I mean, Ephesians 1 is all about that the church was chosen to glorify, to be the praise and glory of his name. That's what it is. He chose the church to be the praise and glory of his name. Just like Israel was supposed to represent him in the Old Testament, we're to represent him here now. They didn't do a great job of it. A lot of times we're not doing a great job of it, but we should make sure we are. We want to be, know that we're chosen to bring glory and praise to his name. And in doing that, we work to build up one another. It has to happen that way. We come together to build up one another, to be a showcase. Now, I didn't say, make up this next part. This is something I read in my study, you know, coming together for this message. The mission of the church is to know and love Christ so supremely as to represent him and his values accurately and vividly to the world and serve people's deepest needs in the way Christ himself would meet them. Did you hear that? Succinctly putting together the church. Listen, the mission of the church is to know and love Christ so supremely as to represent him and his values accurately and vividly to the world and to serve people's deepest needs in the way Christ himself would meet them. Wow. Where are we in that? Does that, when you hear church, is that what you think of? See, that's what you should think of when you hear church. Come together to worship him, to be equipped, to do all that stuff, to encourage and to love, and to go out and let people see him and know him, and to meet their needs. The greatest need is salvation, we know that, but we do that many times through the physical needs that they're having. That's church. Evangelism, calling people to Christ, you know? Somebody else said this. They said, our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son, now not the S-O-N, the S-U-N, the Son, right? And they don't mean the actual Son, but the Son about which the whole mission of the church revolves. Public worship is the encounter of the risen Redeemer with his people. When people come in here, they should come in amongst us and see Jesus. He should be the center and the focus of everything. Everything. So when we call people, we don't call them to ourselves or to our church. We call them to Christ. When we live out our faith, we do so that they can see his lordship over our lives and they could worship him, coming to know him. When we are taught, when we are nurturing one another, and when we're disciplining the flock, when we're doing all these things, when we're meeting the needs of other people, we're doing the work that Jesus himself left us to do, but that he himself did. Everything Jesus did, feeding and healing and teaching, even his sharpest rebukes, right, to the Pharisees and the religious, those people, he really tore them apart. But all of that was covered, or you know, the motive behind all that was his love. That they would know him, that they would receive him, they would know that he came to die for them because he loved them that much. And this doesn't happen, church, as we come together only once in a blue moon or when we feel like it, you know, or when we don't come together at all. We need one another. Going back to that early church, they came together. You know what they did? They went to the temple. They didn't have a building, church, place to go. The temple was the main place where they all went and worshiped. So you know what they did? They went to the temple. And what did they do when they were there? They talked about Jesus. They got in a lot of trouble when they were doing that, but they did it. And then what did they do? They went to each other's houses. They went to jail a few times too. Now, some of you have been to jail, but you've been there for the wrong reasons. If you go to jail for Jesus, I'm going to be the first one there to get you out. Actually, I might leave you there because he might have work for you to do first, but then I'll try to get you. But I'll try to bring comfort to you. We'll be praying. But I don't think any of us have been in jail for Jesus. They went to jail for Jesus. That's okay. You know what I mean? If they want to throw us in jail for something, that's all right. But you know, that's what they did. And they did it with joy. They did it with joy. They did it with joy in their hearts. But then, not too long after the church started, not too long, I'm talking about maybe 20 years, 30 years, something like that, there was already a group of them that started not to meet together. And the writer of Hebrews said that. He says, don't forsake the assembly together that some of you are doing, that you're in the habit of doing. And this is back a long time ago. This is the early church. They already got into that whole habit of not wanting to come out together, not meeting together. He says, don't do that. He says, but encourage one another. He also says that we're supposed to exhort one another to do the love and to the good works he's called us to believe, even more so as you see the day approaching. He had to warn them then 2,000 years ago. How much more do we need the warning today? Because we're a lot closer. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I think it's sooner than later. But the truth is, I know we're a lot closer than we were 2,000 years ago. And you know what the Bible teaches us? Sound doctrine teaches us? In the days closer to the return of Jesus, with all of the false teaching and apostasy that will be prevalent in those days, that the church is going to be prone to two things. Lukewarmness and sleepiness. Oh, man. And I get frustrated, and I get weary, and I see it sometimes in myself, and I see it in others. Do I get upset when we had a great week, last week in Jersey for Vacation Bible School, but there were a lot less kids than there were there the previous 2 years and 3 years that I've been going, checking on that thing? Yeah, I get frustrated. Do I get frustrated when I see statistic after statistic come out that says that even amongst those who proclaim that they are born again, they are evangelic in their faith, that on a given Sunday only 30% of them go to church? That frustrates me. Do I even get more frustrated when I know that this country, though we've never been a complete Christian nation, though we are founded on biblical principles, but we did have a form of godliness in this country for up until maybe, a few decades ago or whatever, that people used to go to church just because sometimes, even if it was cultural, even if it was just habit, they were raised in that religion, whatever, they went to church. Now, do I get frustrated that I hear that nationally about 6% of people on a Sunday are in church? 6%! Do I get frustrated? Yeah, I do. But church, our frustration should not grow into disillusionment to where we say, I give up. I'm not going to come too. I've said it to too many people, I'm done now. No, we can't quit. We cannot, the Bible says, grow weary in well-doing. Cannot. And the only way that I know to do that is to be together and to pray for one another and to encourage one another, to equip one another, to exhort one another, to love one another, to cry with one another and to rejoice with one another, to do those things, the one another things that we're called to do. That's the only thing I know. To say to your brother, sister, wake up! To maybe go to that lukewarm bath that they're in that's making them doze to sleep and to pour some cold water in and they go, woo! Or to pour some hot water where they have to jump out. Whoa! I mean, we do that in love, by the way, But you know what I'm saying? You come along and you can spur people. You can maybe throw a little cold water into their lukewarm faces that are sleepy and say, wake up, brother. Time to get up. Time to get up. Get some oil back in that lamp. You were sleeping or you were drifting off to sleep. But you can't do that if we're not together. Because eventually we'll fall asleep too. We will. We'll fall asleep. See, for these reasons and more, we need to be together. Don't fall into the habit, as many, many have, of not coming together. Make it your point to come to church regularly, not just Sunday. I mean, you know, yeah, make Sunday, that's great. See, I want you to understand that I love you to say, ooh, church, yes, Sunday, congregation, in a pew, worshiping, raising my hands, praying, sometimes the Lord's Supper, listen to a good message, for being encouraged, yay! And then I want you to go home, and I want you to wake up Monday morning, and when you're taking your time for prayer or devotion, whatever you do, you know what you say? Oh, Lord put such and such on my heart. I want to give them a call or send them a text. And then you do, and you talk together, and you pray together, and you're having church over the phone. Or you're having church over breakfast. And then you say, oh, would you come out with me tomorrow night? We're having fellowship. And you go to fellowship on Tuesday. And then from that, they say, you know what? I can't really come out of here. We can say, yeah, but listen, I can help you get on Zoom so you can listen to Wednesdays and Thursdays Bible studies on Zoom. And guess what? They're doing some great thing about learning about religions on Monday nights. And you know, like, do you have a husband or a son or a friend? Mark does some great work with the guys on Fridays, and they come together and they pray and they encourage one another. And all of a sudden, that happens. And you can have church every day. You don't have to even physically be here. Just thinking of one another, praying for one another, that's having church. You understand? I want us to think of church as us, the way we live, who we are. And that's what the Bible says. See, I'm going to wrap this up here. Does coming to church at least once a week, every Sunday, get you into heaven? No. In fact, technically, to getting to heaven, it's not even required, right? We're born again by the grace of God through faith, not of works. We understand that. But it's my desire and my heart that we burn with desire to be together. Not just do it. Look, if you do it just because maybe this message today shook you up a little bit and woke you up a little bit, you say, you know what, I got to do better. And you're thinking, wait a minute, but I'm the one that's here every Sunday. The one there is not there. But maybe it encourages you to call that one that's not here and encourage that one that's not here. Whatever it might be, whatever it happens today, whatever happens to you, I want it to be there. Maybe you do it out of, you hear it and you know it and you do it out of responsibility. Good. That's good. Okay, that's great. I want it to be much more than that. I want it to be that when you think of church, when you hear this message today, and then you understand the totality of what church is supposed to be, that your heart burns within you to be in church, to be part of the church. And stop looking to the other person to do it, and stop blaming the other person when they're not doing what you think they should be doing. Because that's what happens all the time. You spend so time belly aching about that, blah, 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 you forget, no, pray for that. Encourage them, love them, teach, lead by example. You're not doing this, you're not doing it. Are you doing it? I don't think so. And if you are, you must not be doing it in much love, because all you're doing is criticizing everybody. You know what I mean? Do your work together. And think about church. When those people, we heard about them last week or the week before, when they broke bread, when Jesus came to them in the Emmaus Road, right? After they had church together, right? Jesus, that was church. Jesus was sharing the scripture with them. When he broke bread, he disappeared. What'd they say? Did not our hearts burn within us? And what did they do? Ran back to church. Right? The rest were still gathered in the room. They were still afraid. They were not sure what was going on. They ran back to church. They didn't leave and say, oh, I did it for the week, I'm good for the next week. No, they said, I can't wait to come back together. And sometimes it's in this building, and sometimes it's over the phone. Occasionally it'll be over the internet. Sometimes it'll be through a text. Sometimes it'll be in a diner. Sometimes it'll be at another house, and we go house to house. Whatever. We can't wait, because we need, we desire, we love the fellowship, even in spite of the fact that we always don't like one another. Be honest, we don't always get along. We don't always agree. Sometimes you go, what about that annoying one? Remember, that annoying one might be you to somebody else. Because they say, you know that annoying one over there, and they're talking to you. Jesus loved them and died for them. Instead of just praying for them, say, Lord,
What can I learn from them? How can I love them as you do? Make that your mission. To love in spite of, right? In spite of the irritations, the disagreements. Because when we love like that, when we put Jesus on display, Jesus said this. He prayed for his church and he told them, he said, I'm sending you into the world. I'm commanding you to have love one for another. And when you love one another and put that on display in this world, people will know that you are mine and I sent you into the world. I can tell you, if we had the time, and I have said it before, but I can tell you of many, many, many occasions, firsthand witness with these own eyes, hearing with these own ears, people coming to faith in Jesus Christ just because they witnessed the love between Christian brothers and sisters. That was the thing that brought them to Christ. All the preaching, all the track handing, all the, that, they saw that love and it melted their hearts, blew them away, and they accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. It's real, but it doesn't happen isolation. It happens when we come together in love. Peter says, as I sum it up, he says, we are part of the building that God is building. We're all stones in that building. Paul said what? That we're all part of the body. Every one of us. If we're not there doing what we're called to do, the body doesn't function right. If all the stones aren't in place doing their support, what they're supposed to do, the house falls down. The foundation doesn't go because that's Christ. But the building what's on top of it, the church, it starts to fall down. Church, don't be a stone that's out of place. Don't be a stone that's absent. Don't be an amputated part of the body. Be part of the body in whatever capacity that means. You may be a pebble. You may be a big rock. You may be a little finger. You may be an ear. I don't know, but be part of the body. And don't get frustrated when you think things aren't happening. See, we sometimes put a seed in the ground, and we go, ain't nothing ever going to grow. I'm tired. I'm done. So you stop watering it. You stop clearing the things around it. So it doesn't grow. See, we're called to plant seeds. We're called to water. We're called to have patience until the increase comes. But you know what? In my experience, I can share with you, sometimes the word work really gets frustrating is before the seeds are even planted because we've been doing it for a long time and they just bounce off from the hard soil. You know, it takes a long time sometimes to break up that ground so that it can receive the seed. And some of us just want to move on. I talked to them once. They're never going to come in. Oh, what? That's great. One time. No. Break up the ground through prayer, through love, through witnessing. Then the seed finally gets planted. And then in patience, wait, as it does that work it does underground that we can't see. How many of you are a product of a seed that was planted maybe 20 years ago? It took a long time for it to go. But some came along and watered that seed. And then some had the privilege to be see that seed. Well, guess what? That seed that became a plant still needs to bear fruit. And that's how it comes together beautifully. As we all are part of the body, as we all do our part in the body, and as we don't get weary in well-doing. Father, thank you for this reminder of why church? Father, I hope that one of the things we would do is take our part of this message to a heart today, but we'd also would share it with others who aren't here today that need to hear it, whether we send them the link online, whether we, Lord, share it with them in our own words, whether we do both and pray for them, whatever it might be, Lord, that we would do those things. But Father, let us exhort one another to love and to good works. Even more so as we see your day approaching. Let us not forsake the assembly together. And Lord, we pray for those that have done that, that we would be part, and our part of the body for them would be to encourage them, to love them, to find out what we can do to help them to be engaged as part of this building that you have made part of the body that you have created so that we can be a full functioning body, a full functioning house that would glorify our Father in heaven, that would represent you well into this world in a very practical way, that you would show us as we pray for the wisdom that we need. So, Lord, let us learn to love you and love your church, and let our hearts burn with desire that we would come together as often as we can to glorify you and to complete our mission. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. I want to just sing about blessing God today. Song, I don't know if we've sung this for a while. Have we sung this recently? Have we sung this in a while? Been a little while. It's just a couple choruses, but let's sing it with all our heart. Oh, you going to sing that?
Bless God.